Call this next segment Washington Week in Preview. We're going to look ahead at a couple of political stories and also the Super Committee, which is crunching numbers down on Capitol Hill. Are they abstract or are they real? Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, joins us on this early Monday morning. Todd, are you in your costume yet?
My costume is sleep-deprived zombie, so yes.
I see. Well, you go as that every year, Todd.
Every morning, as a matter of fact.
So let me hit you with two political questions right off the top. Number one, Herman Cain, this sexual harassment charge, is it significant? It's Politico that's making the charge. Is he publicly going to answer it? Does this survive the news cycle today?
Too early to tell, of course. You were expecting me to say that. However, we are going to hear a lot from Herman Cain today. He has several public appearances scheduled, including an appearance on Fox News just past 11 o'clock this morning, where he's apparently going to answer some questions about this. Then Herman Cain is supposed to give a speech and answer reporters' questions at the National Press Club at a luncheon at 1 p.m. So he will have already been on cable TV by that point. And if he shows up, I'm sure there'll be more questions and we can talk about it tomorrow.
The other sort of candidate resurrection program, you heard last week that Rick Perry's people were saying, he might not participate in any more of these debates because he didn't do so terribly well, looking for other ways to greet the voters. You heard that, right, Todd?
I did. And I also heard him go back on it.
Well, he went back on it, but he was all over the Sunday talk shows all over the weekend. Who was watching, and what do you think they saw?
Well, I think the Sunday talk shows, mostly Washington watches those, and maybe fundraisers and donors watch those. But we have a Rick Perry now who says he will participate in at least five more debates, and a new ad from Rick Perry that I think goes up in Iowa and some other states today that says, "I'm a doer, not a talker. So I'll solve things even if I'm not a great debater." That's the subtext there.
So don't watch the debate, just to watch the commercial.
If you do watch it and I do poorly, I'm still a good candidate, and you can still send me money.
Indeed. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. All right, let's look at the numbers. Europe is trying to get their $1.4 trillion bailout fund figured out. They're crunching numbers in the Super Committee on Capitol Hill that are about as big, but it's all about reducing the U.S. Federal deficit by a deadline of, what, November 23rd?
Yeah, that's right. November 23rd is the deadline. However, the real deadline, as we've said before, is tighter than that because you remember the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, the scorekeepers. They have to score all this stuff and decide whether the plans that are put forward, proposed by the Super Committee, actually meet debt reduction targets, what they really do, and that takes time. So November 23rd is when the committee has to release its vote and approve its final product, but they need to make some really hard decisions a lot before that. Some people are saying some decisions have to be made by the end of this week. And John, what I wanted to do is we talk about this $1.2 trillion minimum under the law that the Super Committee has to come up with. I got 5 points here on moving parts of the Super Committee, but things that really matter, okay? These numbers are not really abstract dollars in the cloud. A lot of this stuff really matters, okay? And here's the first moving part. Remember, it's $1.2 trillion minimum. Some people want them to go as high as $3 trillion more.
Yeah, some are even talking $4
trillion. Maybe four. They've already cut $1 trillion back in the summer, so let's say 3 to 4 is the upper bound. 1.2 is the minimum.
Okay.
Here's the first big part of this that's moving. Discretionary spending. Now, they've already cut $1 billion from the budget over the summer, but they're not done, John. They're coming back for discretionary spending. Democrats want to protect it. They're not going to protect it completely.
And the discretionary spending is stuff that's not entitlements, that's actual programs with budgets, Department of Education, that sort of thing.
We call this non-defense discretionary. So everything that Congress can tweak every year that's not defense. And you're right, not Social Security, not Medicare. This could be food stamps. This could be medical research, which has doubled over the last 10 years.
Could be Arne Duncan's budget, who's coming up on the show a little later.
Department of Education, no doubt about it. EPA, they could go after this stuff, and they probably will. Number two is health care. Now, a lot of this is entitlements. Medicare is a key driver of the debt, and both sides are talking about cutting it, John. Now, this could mean anything from increasing the amount of premiums that seniors pay for regular care, their Part B premiums. This is technically not a benefit cut because you get the same benefits, but you got to pay more to get them because the government needs money.
We should note that Medicare contains the big numbers, but it's also the most politically sensitive area.
It is among the most politically sensitive areas. That's true. So if you want to save money in Medicare, maybe you just want to try to charge people more without cutting benefits. Cutting benefits is really the hardest thing you can do under Medicare. Democrats would like to make drugs cheaper, would like to take another bite out of the drug companies under Medicare, save the government money without cutting benefits there. They may try to do that. They may increase copays, increase the amount of money you have to pay to go to the doctor. There's also, of course, the possibility of reducing Medicaid, the amount of money that goes to the states. They could, John, maybe raise the retirement age. They're talking about that.
Right, and these
are all sort of
strategic cuts that don't represent straight-ahead benefit cuts. I notice number three on your list is Social Security, often called the third rail of American politics.
Third rail. So, again, raising the retirement age would affect Social Security, right. But here's a term I want you to watch out for. It's an arcane term called chain CPI. This is just an equation, a way of calculating the consumer price index, and Social Security benefits go up and down according to consumer prices. That's how they do it. There are formulas.
Yeah, right. The CPI is directly indexed to the Social Security benefit. Everybody gets an increase depending on the inflation rate. So if they calculate the CPI differently,
then that's technically a benefit decrease. And if they go to a cute little thing called chain CPI, just watch out for that term, because if you hear it, politicians will tell you it's not a benefit cut, because the amount of benefits you get from the equation would be the same. But if they use chain CPI, guess what? Your benefits are going down as much as $1,800.
Wow.
For some beneficiaries. That's right.
So
it's over an extended period of time.
It's a move the goalpost kind of a thing.
John, I couldn't have said it better. It's exactly what it is. Move the goalpost. And so watch out for chain CPI. Number four, defense. The Iraq war is ending. We all know that. Congress is likely to count the savings toward the debt. Now, there's an argument about whether or not you can really do that, but Congress, you know, they see a big fat shell in the shell game. Since the Iraq war is ending, they're likely to count that savings toward the debt. Not only that, if they fail to reach an agreement on this big at least $1.2 billion, there's an enforcement mechanism. There's a hammer hanging over Congress. If they don't do their job, there's massive defense cuts.
And Leon Panetta has been all out in front of that. He's been up on Capitol Hill a couple of times last week and the week before trying to prevent the hammer from falling.
And so is John McCain, and Panetta has lots of allies on the Hill who are doing the same thing, saying don't let the hammer fall, either succeed or change the law and take the hammer away, which is not exactly what you want to do when the hammer's supposed to keep everybody in line.
I'm looking down your list. What are you, John Boehner? I don't see taxes.
Oh, that's number five. That's the biggest one. I saved it for the end. Will Congress ever reach a consensus on higher taxes for the wealthy? That's a big question. They might not. But hand in hand with the super committee is likely to be a move to completely overhaul the tax code. Now, the super committee itself may not do this. It's very complex. But they may say, hey, Congress, $800 billion. I'm just making that up. We charge you to find $800 billion overhauling the tax code. Now,
They may punt the tax issue to an overhaul of the tax code that the broad Congress would deal with later.
Take away tax breaks for corporations, but also possibly for you and me, John, things like the child tax credit, earned income tax credit. All those things could possibly go away. Mortgage deductions, got to watch that. It's not just for the corporations.
Todd, you hear the buzzing that's going on in the studio here? Hear that?
Oh, I hear.
We're going after the budget on our own right here. Todd's like, take away Washington correspondent. Thanks so much, Todd.
Pleasure.